We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to another episode of Talking Halos. I am your host today, Jared Timms, and I am joined alongside my co-host, my partner in crime tonight, Nate Green. Nate, welcome back. It's been a minute. I think our vacation from Angels baseball was well worth it because it doesn't seem like we missed a lot except for the complaining that we like to do, but it seems like we're going to be back. I know that you're going to start getting busy here with summer ball. But I think that we can make this work, and I think that our whole team will be able to make this work, and we're going to get podcasts out Monday through Friday now. Well, Tuesday this week. We weren't able to do it Monday. We've been trying to switch stuff over and everything, but Nate, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. How about you, Jared?
I am not doing too bad. The Angels won tonight. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the Angels aren't playing horrible baseball. They're playing 500 baseball at the moment, and it's not been too bad the past, I guess, week and a half. There's not too much to complain about, except for I feel like we do have a little bit of complaining to do about tonight's win. Even though the Angels won, I still like to complain, right? I mean, we gotta find something to nitpick about.
You can. I'm gonna be more positive.
I don't believe you, but I do appreciate it. So, Nate, as always, I like to start this off with a little bit of a question. Who do you have winning the College World Series as we're watching regionals unfold on this fantastic Monday night? Who do you got winning the College World Series? I mean, I got Arkansas. I don't watch too much College World Series. I think Arkansas is really freaking good, but can't go against some of those teams that have already made it into Super Regionals.
Yeah, this is an easy one for me. Vanderbilt's got too much pitching, too much depth that's been to the College World Series multiple times, and they have the best coach in college baseball, so Vanderbilt's going to win it all.
I can totally see that happening as well. I mean, Jack Leiter, Kumar Rocker, just to name a few. Like I, their whole team will probably get drafted this season. It's quite impressive what Vandy does on a yearly basis. The Alabama Crimson Tide of baseball. It really is impressive. And even dating back the past 5 years, you look at some of their rosters that they've had, and it's like, wow. Like it's special. Not too many teams really have ever done that. I mean, you can look at some Florida teams. I'd probably venture to say, the things that Vandy are doing right now are historical and unbelievable, and I can totally see them winning. I really can. I just like Arkansas. I think that they are one of the best teams in the nation. They are the best team in the nation at the moment until told otherwise. So I guess we'll just kind of see how it unfolds and just see what happens here in the next upcoming weeks of the College World Series. And we're definitely going to talk about that a little bit. I think we like talking baseball, and we like talking college baseball, too. So, and because there's a lot of draft implications as well.
Yes.
There is.
A lot of guys in this regional, super regional, college world series that could easily get drafted.
Yeah, and I have a lot of insight, but I'm not going to share it with any of you guys because I don't know. I won't share it with you guys yet, though. we'll get some special guests on talking about the draft here real soon, and just kind of see where that goes. And there could be some special announcements going on with the draft too. So, guys, before we get going any further, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast, continuing to support this podcast even through our ups and downs, even through our time off that we've needed, that we've taken throughout our baseball seasons and throughout Angels season. We just want to thank you so much for doing that. If you like what we're doing, share it with a friend. Give us a 5-star review. And like I said, tell a friend. That's how we spread, word of mouth. Let them know that we have one of the best Angels podcasts out there and one of the most reliable Angels podcasts out there. And you know, you can come and listen to us anytime. So thank you for that. And guys, without any further ado, give us one moment to pay the bills.
Hey everyone, before we start, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is a perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, personalized Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and you name all the other ones. You got them. Okay? The best part is you can get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports podcasting experience. Acceptance in the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
All right, Nate, enough with all these introductions. Let's get this show rolling and talk some Angels baseball. We haven't been on the air too much to talk about anything going on. Like I said, the Angels are playing 500 baseball, I believe, in the past about 2 weeks since the beginning of the Oakland series. Actually, they're probably playing a little bit better than 500 baseball in the past 2 weeks. And it's, again, been a lot of fun. The Angels are 4 games under 500 with a very favorable schedule coming forward. And, Nate, first question, do we see them get back to 500?
I don't know. That's tough. You're going to have to win 4 in a row to do that, because you are going to have to go on the road to play Oakland, which is going to be tough. Yes, you do see him get to 500, but it only lasts a couple days, and then they'll be back under 500.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to be positive.
I was about the way everything's unfolding, but I got to be realistic, right? Like they do have an easy schedule coming up with Arizona and Detroit, but then after that, it gets really, really, really difficult with San Francisco is playing well, Tampa Bay, New York. Yeah, it's definitely a grind. This early year was a grind.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, you look at the last couple games, I'd say, before the All-Star break, I think that they played Tampa in Tampa, and I think they played New York in New York. Then they go to the All-Star break, and we'll just kind of, I guess, see what happens. We'll hopefully maybe see the Angels, you know, take a couple games from New York and take a couple games from Tampa. I know the Angels have actually played New York fairly well over the past 10 years. I know that doesn't mean much, but it feels like the Angels have some decently good successes in New York. I could totally be wrong. I don't have any stats in front of me, but it just kind of feels like they play the Yankees pretty well every single time. Maybe not the last couple of years, but I mean, it just seems like they play them well. So the Angels won tonight. Big win for the Angels. I think it was a 7-3 game. Dylan Bundy pitched 7-4. Or no, it was more than that. 8-5. I don't know what the score was. The Angels won, though. That brought him back. What was the score?
8-3.
I was close. 8-3, 7-4. I mean, we're in the same ballpark. Nate, let's pick a bone, shall we? The Angels and Joe Maddon took out Dylan Bundy with 75 pitches, I believe. And obviously, Dylan Bundy wasn't happy about that. What say we about all of this? I'm not a fan of taking out pitchers. I know Bundy was pitching well, but he got hit hard. It just felt like tonight was a night that the bullpen could have rested, but instead they bring in Chris Rodriguez in a 7-2 game, I think, at the time. I think Rodriguez gives up a run, and it ends up being a 7-3 game at the time. They decide after that to bring in Mike Myers, who's been struggling of late, and then James Hoyt. It just felt like you could have pushed Bundy into the 7th or 8th inning and saved some bullpen. I, I mean, and it feels like it, this happens a lot, you know, that the Angels could be saving some bullpen, but instead decide to use three bullpen arms and, you know, just tax the bullpen even more. So I don't know if you agree or disagree with me about that. I don't even know if you watch the game or not, because I kind of barely watch the game, and I know that college baseball is on as well. But I just want to get your two cents on this. I know that we continue to have these arguments about the bullpen, and I'm just not a fan of what's going on.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I do like to see the starters go deep, especially in this type of game where they had a decent-sized lead. But for fairness, Dylan Bundy has not had an outing where he could actually feel good about himself in a long, long time, right? So they took him out with a runner on, I believe, runner on first, and all it takes is one of his 700 home runs he's given up this year, and all of a sudden, and it's a 6-4 game or 7-4 game, and Dylan Bundy goes from feeling really good about his outing to, oh, crap, I did not pitch as good as I would have liked. So that is the one thing, is it does allow Dylan Bundy to feel like, hey, I did a really good job tonight. Yeah, he's frustrated he didn't get to go deeper into the game, but I mean, when's the last time Dylan Bundy feels like he threw a really good game? It's been, what, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 starts?
It has. It has been a minute, it feels like, and I do understand it. I do get where you're coming from there. But on the other end of things, and Nate, you said you were going to be positive, and you're not being positive at the moment, so I'm going to call you out on that.
Positive about it. That's pretty positive to say, you know what, it wasn't the worst move.
No. I agree. You're being very positive today, and I appreciate it, Nate. It's a huge thing for this show if you're positive and I'm negative. People love when I'm negative. but yeah, you know, I think that if you push Bundy to 100 pitches there and he works himself into the 7th or 8th inning, and heck, if he gives up 3 runs, you know, instead of saying, damn, he pitched 6 innings on 75 pitches and gave up 2 runs, instead, he worked into the eighth inning and gave up 3 runs. Not saying that would have happened, and who knows, the Angels might end up losing this game. But I just think that, you know, if he works into the 8th inning, like we saw Alex Cobb do the other day. Alex Cobb gave up a freak 5 spot against the Mariners. Angels ended up winning this game. But Cobb gave up a freak 5 spot and was perfect the rest of the game. I think he retired the first 9 batters he faced. The Mariners put up a 5 spot in the 4th. On a grand slam that came off of like a bunt, a bloop single, a walk, and then a the home run. So and then Cobb, I think, retired the next 11 batters he faced, and he was at 96 pitches, and it was like, let him go back out there for the 8th. He earned the 8th. Let him go back out there. You know, like that's. I think that you can hear it in my voice. I'm getting a little frustrated at this. What is the biggest issue with the Angels this year?
Yeah, it's definitely been the pitching, whether it's starting pitching or relief pitching. You can blame both of them, in my opinion, because I know some people want to blame the relievers, but to be fair, our starters don't go deep into the games, which puts a lot of pressure on the bullpen. So it goes back and forth. Both parties are to blame.
100%. I agree. I do agree with you there. But when you got something going, like the Angels have had, you let it roll. like you had Alex Cobb rolling, you let it roll, you know? You let it keep going. And same thing goes with Bundy. Bundy with 75 pitches tonight through 6 innings, and you're like, oh, you get 2 runners on, we're going to yank you here. And you don't leave on a good note there. You know, you don't. Nate, we've been in this situation where it's like, where you're throwing well, and it feels like you're throwing well, and you don't have a lot of pitches, but you see the coach coming out, and you're like, I just walked somebody. Why are you taking me out? We've both been in that situation before as pitchers, and we've been on the field for that situation, and it's not a great feeling. Like, and I think that that's where we're at, and I it's just tough to see the Angels consistently struggle. And granted, the Angels had the best bullpen in baseball for like an 11 game span, and I'm not even kidding. When you look at WAR, and I know you're not a WAR fan, but the Angels, the Angels had the best Fangraphs WAR over the past like 12 games or something like that, and yeah, it was for the bullpen, and you know, at that point, yeah, you let your bullpen work, you know, and until it doesn't work anymore, and we saw it not work, I think, on Sunday, and after Sandoval's brilliant start, and then you come back out and you try to use the bullpen again after you're trying to you know, rest them. And I think even Sandoval had a good start, and they took him out early, and which I understand that. I do, but, you know, I got to pick a bone there. You feel where I'm coming from?
Yeah, absolutely. I just know that Bundy has been bit by the home run ball more than I think anyone in baseball. He's top five in home runs allowed. So all it takes is for a guy who's hit the ball hard, two ABs, all it takes is for him to hit one out, and all of a sudden it's 7-4, and all of a sudden you're starting to think about it like, does Dylan Bundy feel good about the outing if he goes 5 2/3 and gives up a tank to end his night?
No, but...
Does he feel good knowing that C-Rod comes in, gets the out, and he knows he went 5 2/3 and we have a lead going into the bottom of the sixth?
Yes, but... And
when's the last time he's had that feeling?
You're not wrong, but...
I'm saying is like sometimes you just need a happy feeling after an outing, and I think for a guy who's been struggling a lot lately, I don't hate the move. I really don't, and I know C-Rod got up in the pen this weekend, didn't get in the game, so it was a good opportunity to get him in the game. It was a good opportunity to get Myers back right. Like, hey, we're in a blowout. Like, work on some stuff. Don't try not to give up a bomb. Like, try not to walk guys. Like, those are the things where it's like, hey, you're up 5 runs. Like, do a job right here. So I actually think they use certain guys in good situations tonight to get them back right. So hopefully when we are playing Oakland next week and it's, you know, 4-3 going into the seventh, he has no problem going to C-Rod or no problem going to Myers, and hopefully both them are right again.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you there, and it is what it is. we can complain about this the whole time, and we can complain about defense all we want to, and we can complain about what Madden does, but I mean, we can't make a difference in this. So I just figured we could kind of talk about that before getting on to the real conversation that we wanted to have, and that's Joe Adell. I mean, at what point do you bring this guy up?
I don't know.
I know it's tough. You know, we're still seeing a lot of strikeouts, but Nate, over his last 14 games, he's batting .313 with 11 home runs during that span and 17 strikeouts. I know 17 strikeouts is a lot, but how do you ignore 11 home runs in 14 games? I mean, the dude is unbelievable right now.
The only way to ignore it is knowing that the ball is better than playing in Colorado where he's playing. How's he playing defensively? That's the biggest, like, that's honestly the biggest concern I have is how's the dude playing defensively? I've seen all the home runs. I've seen he's not hitting terribly with a bunch of strikeouts, but it's like the defense is key because right now we're playing a lot of guys in right field who don't play right field. And yeah, Keegan Wong made probably the play of the game today. And I know that's weird to say. They robbed a home run in what, the first or second inning? But, yeah, I think that really gave Bundy some confidence to go out there and throw some quality pitches after that. So the biggest thing for me is defensively. I don't think he's going to have a problem hitting. We see it with a lot of young guys. I mean, Trout did not hit well early. I think Soto struggled early. Tatis had a little bit of a transition period. And, I mean, you see Jared Kelenic, the superstar Mariners guy, he's 0 for his last 39, just got sent down. So, I mean, it happens. So I don't think hitting is going to be a problem. But defensively, he needs to be able to play a quality right field where we can throw him out there and not have to worry about what could go wrong.
Yes, and here's one of the reasons why I ask this, because I think he's going to play center field until Trout gets back. That's how close I think they are to bringing him up. Because I'm thinking about this now. I look at all the minor league roster, or minor league lineups, and I think he's played center field almost all this last series, which is interesting. And it's just kind of processing through my head. I'm going to have to go back and look at some lineups now at this point, and I'm going to tweet it out if for anybody that wants to see it. But it's kind of interesting. I mean, how do you feel about Adell being in center field until Trout gets back?
Again, just like can he do it at the major league level?
He's athletic.
He is athletic, but we also saw him in spring training look like he had never played the outfield in his life, and he was playing center field, which is supposedly his most comfortable position. So I don't know. That's the big question mark for me is can he play the outfield every single day without being a liability?
Yeah, I that's the tough question, and this is something that we don't see a lot of, you know, with minor league stuff. It's we just talked about home runs and we talked about the strikeouts, but yeah, how is he playing defensively? And everything that I've seen, he looks like an athlete. There are times out there, and you can take that for how you want, but there's times out there where he looks really good, and there's times out there where it's like, well, there's Joe Adell again from 2020. So I don't know what you're going to get out of him. I think that confidence is key for him, and I think that's that. I don't know. Defense is going to be kind of tough for me, and that goes to, I don't know if we have this conversation or not right now, but look at how the Angels have played defensively this year. One of the worst teams in baseball defensively. So Joe Adell being bad defensively, is that going to disappoint you?
Yes, because to be fair, yes, we've been very bad defensively, but we have a lot of guys playing out of position. Taylor Ward's playing right field a lot. Keon Wong played right field tonight. We had Jack Mayfield and Jose Rojas playing third base, which, I mean, both you and I before the season said Jose Rojas will probably be able to hit, but where can he play? Like, outfield, no. He can play first or second, probably not short or third. Like, so we've had a lot of guys playing out of position, and I think that has hurt the defense because you're not like, I'm sure Cam Wong has worked in the outfield probably a handful of times, but that's not something where it's like second nature to him, like playing the middle infield is. So yes, it wouldn't be as disappointing because we've been very bad defensively, but like, he's supposedly a true center fielder, so he should not have trouble playing center field.
And I don't disagree with you there. I think it might happen. I really do. He's played center field each of the last three games for Salt Lake. They have a day off tomorrow, and it'll be interesting to see. So I don't know. I think we see Adell this week. I really do. It's hard to ignore it, to answer the question that I asked originally. I mean, I think we see him this week. And would we have a problem with seeing him this week? I don't.
No, it's a good time, actually. Puts us in June, so gives us that extra year with him. So, yeah, I don't see it being a problem. But what does that mean? Who are we DFAing?
Well, you don't have to. I don't think you have to DFA anybody. I think you just got to send somebody down. Or would it be like, do you send Keen Wong? DFA Keen Wong? I mean, I don't know. A pitcher? What? You could DFA a pitcher, technically, to bring him up? I don't know.
I think everyone is pretty much out of options. Like, you're looking at not too many guys with options, and the guys with options are playing. So it looks like you're probably going to have to DFA someone.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you there. So, yeah, I don't think I have much else to talk about. Nate, you have any final thoughts before we get going and, you know, get on with Angels baseball?
Nope. Excited to see what happens the rest of the week. I mean, Kansas City's a tough ball club. I think they're very underrated. They're scrappy. So it's going to be fun to see how we handle these guys for the next two nights.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that any of these games are easy games. I don't think any games against any major league teams are easy, especially when it's the Angels. And yeah, it'll be fun to watch. I think, you know, we've talked about this off the record a lot. We like the Royals. We think they're a good team. It's going to be fun to see Bobby Witt for them at some point and see what the Angels can do. I'm just excited to talk Angels baseball on a daily basis again, to get this rolling again, hopefully. See, you know, Derek come back on, Brock will get back on. I know Brock works a lot and it's tough to get him on, but Brock will come back on. John's going to get back on again. I know that Derek and John got back on last week, but I'm just excited to talk on a daily basis and and get this going again, guys. So, as always, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. You can follow myself on Twitter at Jared_Timms. You can follow Nate at NateGreen34. Follow us on all of our social medias. That's Talking Halos on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And, guys, have a great rest of your day. We'll be right back.